Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen? Praise God. Woo. You know, I'm excited because the Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. And one thing you can be excited about is that when God makes a day for us and the sun comes up, He's already committed to every challenge, every event that's going to happen in that day, and He's going to help you get through every step. Amen? So this morning, we're thankful to be together in a place where we can worship and come together and just experience the Lord. So let's just open our hearts, step into this moment that God has for us, and let us just enjoy what the Lord will do today. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Are we ready to step into the presence of the Lord? To worship Him this morning? Did you come ready? Did you come expecting? Yes. Amen. Let's expect that God's going to come today and He's going to move and He's going to meet the need of every person. Amen. And those that are not called by His name are going to be pulled in and hear His word, and their heart's going to be touched. And it's not going to be just an emotion, yes, but it's going to be a change of their life, and it's going to be a lifestyle that they live for Jesus. Amen. Yes.
Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that He's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air.
I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. You are worthy. Yes, you are.
Prison, cry out to heaven, shout it till the doors swing wide. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high.
I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. You are.
Day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere. Every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere.
Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere. Every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest.
Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. You are worthy. Yes, you are worthy of all of our praise.
I'll praise you anywhere. Oh, mountain, oh, valley, I know that you're with me there.
of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Sing you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Your hidden glory in creation. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Ashi anotoko yama. Ariasi anotoko shi ananana shi anotori yama. Ahi ono. Oh. From the beginning you were mine. I marked you, I set you aside. I molded you, I taught you. You have always been mine. From before the earth on which you stand, you are mine. I have never left you. I will never leave you. When you cannot see me, it's because your eyes are closed, not because I am not there. From before the beginning of time, there was me and there was you. In the stillness and the silence, I sat with you. I created paradise for you. I love you that much. There is nothing above, within, or below the earth that can separate me from you, because you are part of me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hand, praise you. So
I know it's
soul. Don't you kiss on me, lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of love's lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. No, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of love's lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of love songs. Get up and praise the Lord.
One more time, come on.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the
time for worship. just a little bit. You know, sometimes I think like we struggle a little bit with coming to God with stuff because we think that we've got to present something that's so over the top. Does that make sense? We won't come to him because we're so scared about what he might think about this or what he might think about this and what he might think about this. But the reality is that his motivation towards you from the beginning was love. And he never wanted you to not come to him about stuff. And trust me, I'm a prime example of that. I run from God a lot, and I go through a lot of bad stuff because of it. And then I have to come back around, and he's like, Logan, you had your chance. Why didn't you reach? Why didn't you come? I don't know. I don't know, God. I just thought I could do it by myself. That's what most of our, you know, that's most of our positions. Like, I can handle this. But I recently had a conversation with a young man, and he said, you know, he said, until you get to a place where you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable, even if you know you're going to get hurt, you're really not leaning and trusting him. So this is where we get this idea that I have to present something that's so over the top to make him happy, and that's not all he wants. He just wants your heart. And so for this song, like, I tear up sometimes with it. You guys don't see it, but this song really hits me in the heart because I have nothing to give him. And most of us in here, and actually I would even argue that every one of us in here, are in the same boat. We've got nothing to give him except our worship. We've got nothing to give him. Look, the money isn't for him. The money is to make sure that you don't over-attach to material items and miss him. You know, I was somewhere one time, and I was just preaching a quick message, and I was just sharing with him. I said, don't get so comfortable with Jesus that you don't see him when he's standing right in front of you. Don't become so comfortable, but don't forget that you can go to him for comfort. I know that's like the biggest conundrum in the world, but you can run to him. So I just want to encourage you. If that's all you've got to give, it's enough. If that's all you've got to give, that's enough. I'm going to say it again. If that's all you've got to give, that's enough. He doesn't want anything else. He just wants you. He wants your heart. He just wants your focus. He just wants to spend time with you.
Throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else but your King.
We just come before you and we just give you our praise. We thank you that your presence is here. Father, we just want to glorify your name. You are worthy, and there's no way we could ever say how grateful we are for everything you've done. In human words, it just doesn't seem enough. But we love you, Father, and we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. The cross wasn't an easy task, especially when we were sinners. And the things that we did, the sins committed, even today, the sins committed by the world is heinous. But you knew it was going to happen, and you went to the cross for a people that didn't deserve it anyway. And I thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is call out on the name of Jesus, believe and receive, accept, and tell somebody that Jesus is Lord. Oh, we just thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Lord and our Savior is so amazing. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his love and his mercy and his heart that is towards us. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are glad that you are here today.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Got some exciting things going on. We got babies being dedicated Amen. At the end of service.
Yes.
Woo. One of our Praise favorite God. Things to do.
Hallelujah. Amen.
They just won't let me keep the babies. I don't understand it. I'm sure they'd start screaming enough, I'd bring them back to you. Right? No. Hallelujah. So what else we have going on? April 18th, that's on a Sunday after church, we have a VBS meeting. If you would like to help with our April 18th.
24th.
I was so determined to get this down. Next Sunday. How about that? Next Sunday. I was like thinking on the, you don't understand. Like I purposed in my head. Okay, these are the announcements. Get the dates right. You got this, Regina. You got this.
Praise God.
I promise. And numbers are my thing. That's what I do all day long is numbers. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
It just shows you we're all human. We all have our faults. Amen.
Amen.
No. Okay, next Sunday is going to be our meeting if you would like to help with our VBS.
Amen.
We encourage you to come. I'm telling you, they're amazing. But the way they touch the kids and the way the kids respond to it is worth it all.
Amen.
It is absolutely worth it all. They put so much hard work into it. We have a great team. And so come help them. Come join them. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know, you say, I can't make it. I don't know. Just come to that meeting, and they'll tell you how other ways you can help besides actually being there doing stuff and listening to the loud screams if you can't handle it. Those are probably the week I can handle it because I'm just ready for them babies. Okay.
Amen.
And then we have the women's breakfast / Bible study in two Saturdays. Listen, two Saturdays, that's correct, right? I didn't look at my calendar, so I said, I know it's in two Saturdays,
because
this was the third Saturday, next week's the fourth Saturday, so in the first Saturday is 2 weeks. Okay,
Amen.
So if you haven't heard about it, we just get together as women. We have people in the church that volunteer to cook for it, and then each month a different one of our ladies in here brings the message, and this time it's going to be Miss Katrina. She's bringing the message for us. We're excited about that.
Amen.
So if you'd like to join us, please do so. If you have friends that say, hey, that sounds cool, you don't have to go here to come. Amen? Just come. We just love to have a good time. And we're women of God supporting women of God and hearing somebody else's perspective on something. It's so amazing because it opens up. Listen, we weren't all raised the same, right? And we don't all hear things the same way sometimes. And so to hear somebody else's perspective of what they heard from God, from the scripture, or how God used this scripture to work in their life, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Amen. Praise
God. So I think that's all I've got.
Okay, very good. Right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and release children. If you have not left to go to class, and the teens are going to have their class this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then at the end of service, we are going to have a baby dedication. Praise God. For a couple precious babies. Amen. And in the meantime, we're going to take just a few minutes for offering. And the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 41, it says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose his reward." We also know that the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 21, that there is a lady, and she was poor, and she just had two mites that she released to the Lord. And the Lord was looking over the offering that day and seeing many people give great offerings, and the wealthier people were giving much larger things. But he specifically looked and said, hey, this young lady has given more because out of her place and out of her heart she gave. And so I want you to know that your relationship with God in every area, including giving, has to be something that grows out of your faith and your relationship with him. Amen? And when we release our tithes and offerings, our motive ought to be, God, not only do we love you, but we trust you, and we want to humbly submit ourselves to you and open our heart in every area so that there's nothing that we're keeping that you are not the Lord and Savior and the provider for. Amen? And the Lord, in his graciousness towards us, says what? That not only will he rebuke the devourer on our behalf, but he will open the windows of heaven and he will protect the seeds and the things that we have in our life. Amen? And so we just want the goodness of God in every area, and we want to know that he's influencing every area of our life. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come and release our tithes and offerings today, Father, I thank you that this is just one area, God, that your promises are across the board in so many ways, and this is just one way, God, that we show our faithfulness and release our faith to invite you into every intimate area of our life, God. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for your faithfulness and goodness and your hand of blessing upon everyone, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise Jesus.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. It's all that I have is a
God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we are going to look into the Word of God today. Praise God, which is always a good place to look. Amen. Into the Word of God. And we're going to talk a little bit because we have been talking about, of course, the resurrection of Christ. And then the last couple Sundays, we looked at the fact that after the Lord resurrected, he stayed on the earth 40 additional days. And we unfolded the scriptures, and we found out that we don't know everything that he did during that time, but one thing we saw without fail was there was a focus from the Lord to restore the disciples' faith and to give them an absolute confirmation and a verification that he was who he said he was, that he fulfilled his purpose on this earth, that he went to the cross, and that he was truly resurrected. We saw that there's a time where the disciples didn't even recognize the Lord because the things that happened and the events that took place had them so shaken that they were talking to the Lord on the road to Damascus and not even realizing who he was and saying, "Don't you know, sir, the things that have happened and how we thought the Lord had come and how he went to the cross?" And then they got the revelation that it was truly him. And I like it because we read in another scripture how after a couple times, they no longer needed to know. As soon as they saw him after the resurrection, they knew it was Jesus. Amen? And so we looked at his faithfulness to humanity, his kindness, and even the patience he had to restore the disciples' faith. And now we're just going to continue to look at the goodness of God, and we're going to shift the focus a little bit today to those of us who have been blessed by what he's done on the cross. And the first thing I want to do is read out of Lamentations chapter 3. And it says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." You know, I love it because we've been looking throughout the Bible that we find time after time after time that the Lord turns to his mercies, his loves, and his graciousness towards us to overcome anything that humanity could do in the wrong direction. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." You know, it's amazing because when you walk with the Lord, the abundance of his grace is that even if yesterday was your worst day ever, even if yesterday you failed in every way, shape, and form, maybe we lost our temper, maybe we just went off the rails, maybe we just had the worst day ever, what is so powerful is that I love the way the Lord starts with us fresh every day, because he says that his mercies are renewed every day. What's good about yesterday, if it didn't end well, or if you didn't show your best efforts, or you didn't express your faith the greatest, what's exciting about today is when we woke up this morning, we can shake yesterday off. And you know, I want you to understand something, that every day of your life, we need to remember that the Bible says that I'm going to forget those things which are behind so that I can press forward into those things that are ahead. Amen? And so I want to encourage us this morning, because of God's goodness, because of God's greatness, even if we had a bad day yesterday, we get to wake up today and start again. We get to wake up today under the grace and the mercy of God. We get to wake up today under the goodness of the King and what he's done for us and the path that he's made for us and the doors that he's opened up for us and the ways that he has just released us into a new arena of relationship with him. You know, it's amazing because the Bible says that by going to the cross, the Lord opened up a new and a better and a greater covenant for us. You know, I thank God that we can look back to Adam and all those things in the Old Testament, and we can be thankful because since the Lord came and went to the cross and was resurrected, it says that he did not back up on anything that he did for us. In fact, it says that he didn't come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And he came to release us from the law to even a greater relationship with him, where we get to walk in a loving covenant with our Lord and Savior. Amen? I want you to know something, that we are excited about the fact that just like his mercies are new every morning, we have got to remember that the Bible says that the Lord will give us daily, right? He will provide for us on a daily basis. And I just want to go here to the book of Romans and spend just a little bit of time looking here at something that was very profound of what Jesus did for us. Amen? And it says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You know what's so powerful about this scripture is that we know that in life, especially because of some of the decisions we make, not all things in themselves are good, but every situation and all the things that we go through, they can work out for our good as long as we let the Lord be in charge of our life and we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to him, because he will take even our worst situations and turn it around. Amen? It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he," meaning Jesus, "might be the first among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified." Now, I want to bring out a couple things here, that first of all, by the work of Jesus, we have a predestined or predetermined time and situation and moment that every person on the face of this earth can reach out to the Lord and be saved. It's amazing because the Lord doesn't leave anybody out. He says, "Whosoever calls upon me." And in other words, in the book of Timothy, it says that the will of God is for every man to be saved. You know, sometimes we think about why we have so many problems in the world. Well, the first conclusion is because we have so many people that are not submitting themselves to the will and the purpose of God. Well, amen, hallelujah. But what is so powerful here is that the Lord holds us to a level of accountability that sometimes we don't look at. Because right here it says that the Lord is going to be the first of many brethren. Now, what does that mean? First of all, we know that absolutely nobody is going to come behind him and be Jesus. Amen? Woo-hoo! There's only one Lord and Savior, powerful and abundant in who he is, and will always be at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. But what it does declare unto us is that he is the first of many brethren. Remember, salvation is not to leave us in the limbo of being a sinner that found the grace of God, but it's to redeem us in the regeneration of life so deep that the Lord says we become adopted into sonship. You know, we're going to look here in just a few moments at the fact that the Bible says what? That once we come into salvation, we're regenerated. We actually become a new creature. And all of a sudden, that holds us to a level of accountability that we didn't have before. You know, the Bible says that before the Lord came, men were not as accountable for their sin. But after the Lord has come, guess what? We need to make sure that, first of all, we're under the redemption and the covering of the salvation of the Lord and the goodness of what he did for us. But then we also have to give an account for the fact that once we are saved and once we are in him, there's a way that we have to live. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen? And I want you to know something, that there are a lot of things that we have to become accountable to when we start thinking about not just the just living by faith, but who we are in the Lord after our redemption. See, the Bible says that the Lord came to be the first of many brethren. You know, it's amazing, because as soon as Jesus came and fellowshiped with his disciples, what did he do? He held them accountable in many ways, because he said, hey, now you're going to go forth, you're going to preach the gospel in my name, and you're going to preach it to all nations. He said that to us. Well, I also want you to know that there are some other things assigned to us because of the goodness of the Lord. First of all, before we move on from these scriptures, I want you to know something, that the Bible says that if we are called, then we will be justified. How are we called? Into salvation. We hear the gospel preach. We declare the name of Jesus. And the minute we do that, we are justified. Cleansed by the blood, redeemed from sin, death, hell, and the grave, given a promise that we are now the sons and the daughters of the living God, and also that we have a destiny that when we finish our course, we will not suffer condemnation or judgment, but we shall be supernaturally with the Lord. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it also says here that not only are we justified, but them he also glorified. What does that mean? That now we have some glory, you know? No. What it means is that he has strengthened us. He has anointed us. He has redeemed us. The Bible says what? Now that I am saved, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want you to know something, that we can accomplish things in this life that we never would have been able to accomplish without the Lord. I want you to know that now we are saved, we now have not only a right, but the Bible says that we have a responsibility to be a representation of Jesus on the earth. Amen? And you know what? You don't have to be afraid to do that, because remember, not only are his mercies renewed every day, but his focus to help you walk after him is with you every breath you take. Amen? And every step you make in the Lord. I want to go here to the book of 2 Peter. Hallelujah. And we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read in verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? That as you grow in the knowledge of God, grace and peace are multiplied unto us. That means that the more we use our faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more we use our faith, the more we open our heart to the Lord, the more he will be able to strengthen us in those provisions that only he can make for us. Listen to this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, this gives a new revelation to 1 John chapter 3:18, where it says, my little children, if you sin, you have an advocate in Christ Jesus who will forgive your sins. See, if we're not careful, we will believe that even after salvation, our nature is to always be sinful in an aversion to God. And that's not true. Once we are saved, the Bible just says that we now have an empowerment to take on a divine nature. Now, does that mean we're going to be without sin? Absolutely not. In our humanity, we are going to fail. That's why the Lord says that when you begin your walk, you start on milk, but you should grow up to where you're eating the meat of the word. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 says, hey, I've given these gifts, pastors, preachers, evangelists, prophets, teachers in the word of God, and I've given you a church community and a family to be a part of so you can grow up and mature in the things of the gospel. We're not going to be perfect in our walk, but there ought to be a partaking of the divine nature of the Lord in our life to the point where we should sin less than we do right. We should walk in love more than we walk in anger. We should walk in unity more than we walk in division. The Lord even says after the resurrection, we should know no man after the flesh. What does that mean? That we think that everybody's going to be perfect? No, but we should have a hope and a faith in who they can become in the Lord. And there should be an encouragement in us that one of our goals should be, as much as possible, I want to reflect the nature of Jesus to someone else. Why? In the hopes that they will ask me, why do I have hope? And when they ask me that, I can express to them my faith in the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know something, that when we read these scriptures like this, we should have an understanding that there is a desire from the Lord and an empowerment from the Lord to help us move from corruption and darkness and evil ways into good things. It says, we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Whew. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, boy, this is a bold statement. Hear what it says. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Boy, that's a scary statement, huh? You know, it would be scary if it was not made possible by the blood. You know, I want you to know that there is some point that as a Christian, you have to be confident that you are going to remain saved. You have to be confident that you can live this life empowered by the Lord, not because of our ability, but because of the grace, the goodness, and the empowerment of God, because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, for the fact that now he can empower you to live a way in life that you could never live before. I want you to know something that I recognize every day, that if there is peace and kindness and patience in me, and there is, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the cleansing, redempting blood of Jesus Christ that set me free from a life of sin and darkness and brought me into relationship with our Father in heaven. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, some people would think that you're being cocky if you had the nerve to say, I'm never going to fall. But the scripture clearly says here that there is a pathway where you can protect your future. I want you to know how. What does the Bible say? Let's humble ourselves before the living God so that he can exalt us in due season. I want you to know here that what does it say? It says, take on the nature of virtue. Add virtue to your faith. What does that mean? That means that you are going to be a person that says, Lord, I humbly come to you, and I know that I cannot live this life on my own. But if you will help me, I can be a better person. If you will help me, I can walk in love. If you will help me, I can be kind. If you will help me, I can be patient. If you will help me, I can forgive. I can restore. You know, the Bible says that even if you were to catch your brother in a fault, your desire should be to restore them quickly. Do what you can to help them get back in their relationship with the Lord. Pray with them, walk with them, let them confess your faults one to another, whereby in that we can be healed. Woo! I want you to know something, that it's time for us not to just sit in the seat and worship God, but to make sure that we have our heart open to be available to help anyone we can move closer in their walk with the Lord. Well, hallelujah, I thought you'd shout about that a little more, but it's okay. I want you to know something, that we could look over in Hebrews chapter 12, and there's a scripture that says in the verse 14, that without holiness, no man should see God. And again, I want to remind you of several things. Holiness is not an attribute that we have under our own power. Hallelujah. But holiness comes upon us by the blood and the cleansing of the Lord. But also, once the blood is applied to us, we do have a responsibility to walk then in holiness. Amen? Amen. Not on our own strength, but by the help of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And we always think about that, meaning at the end of life, when we get to the judgment seat, boy, I hope that the holiness of Jesus is on me so that I can enter into heaven. And I want you to know that, yes, hallelujah, we better believe that. But I also want you to know something, that if we don't live a life according to the Bible here on this earth, it's going to be hard for us to see and experience the grace, the miracles, and the goodness of God. You know, we're going to have to walk in this life away from a life filled with sin. We're going to have to be holy in our relationships. You know what? I better be found faithful in my relationship with my spouse. I better be found faithful in my relationship with my son, faithful in my relationship with my friends. In other words, I want you to know when it comes to those people that are closest than you, you had better not be loving them for your own selfish motive and just using them for what benefits you, but you should be someone who's willing to lay down your life and say, how can I help you do this thing called life? What can I do to be a positive influence in your life? It's not just about what's good for me, but what can I do to help you? This is how we should be walking one to another. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I also want you to know that in your walk with the Lord, if we're going to walk in holiness in this day in which we live, we have got to adhere to the Bible. We've got to adhere to the way that the Lord wanted things to be done. We've got to make sure that we don't waver on believing what the Bible says, but we would actually make sure that we carry out what the Bible says. Amen? I want you to know something, that there's a scripture here in the book of Jude that I want to go to. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, Enoch also, the seventh son from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust in their mouths, speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, it's amazing that even way back in Enoch's day, the things we look at going on in the world today were happening back then. And you know what? The Bible says that Enoch pleased God. You want to know why? Because it says in a perverse and wild generation, Enoch chose to live life the Lord's way. I want you to know something, that Jesus says in his word, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? You know, sometimes we think that it takes all these great things, and I want you to know, as an individual, what it takes is just you to live by faith. Be found faithful following the Lord. Be found faithful taking responsibility for what you can take responsibility for. Remember, there was a time after the people spent 40 years in the wilderness and was walking around that they finally crossed Jordan into the promised land, and they started to see God do all these great and mighty things for the nation of Israel and bring them into who they were as a people of God. And all of a sudden, Joshua, who was the leader at that time, who led them in, he made a very bold statement. He stood up in front of everybody and he said, hey, look, we cannot deny what God has done. We cannot deny the great things we've seen and all of this. And I want to encourage you today to make sure we live for the Lord. But then at the end of his statement, he said, in other words, I can't account for what all of you will do, but I can tell you this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I want you to know, as Christians, there should be a way that you raise your children because it's biblical. I want you to know that as Christians, there ought to be a way that you walk with your spouse because it's biblical. Because we're Christians, there ought to be a way that we live this life because there's an expectation of God. If we're Christians and we work in business, we ought to be found to have a realm of integrity in our life. If we're Christians and we go to our job every day, you know, when I was growing up one time, I would never say his name, but I was growing up and I was just young. I might have been 12 years old, and I remember that we had a pastor who wanted to be called a certain name. But he said, hey, when I'm on the job, I'm this name. In other words, he would take on a whole nother name and a persona at his work that was not reflective of Jesus Christ. That's not right. You know, the Bible says that even if we work for a coward or a mean boss, we should work as unto the Lord. Just because I work in a factory, listen, I shouldn't have a factory mouth. Woo! Praise Jesus. Uh-oh. Yeah. You know what? We are not supposed to become the environment that we're in. We're supposed to set a tone in the environment in which we're exposed to. Praise God. One of our best examples is Daniel when he had to go to the lion's den. Why did he go to the lion's den? I'll tell you why. Because they changed the rules in which he lived in. Uh-oh. You know, we got rules, whether we look at the government or schools or whatever, we got rules changing around us every day. And they changed the rule in Daniel's day and said, hey, from now on, when certain music plays, you've got to worship this false idol that we raised up. But guess what? During that time when all those changes were going on, Daniel didn't change a thing. It says that the windows of his house were open, and just like he did at every certain time of the day, he could be seen praying unto his God. You know what's so funny is that the people that tried to set Daniel up for a death-defying experience, they even said, we've evaluated Daniel, and he lives in a way that you ain't going to find him breaking the law. You ain't going to find no wrong in Daniel. The only thing you can do is accuse Daniel of serving his God. I pray for each one of us Christians that today, the only thing the world could hold against any of us is that we are crazy enough to serve Jesus. I pray that people get sick of you at work because you're praying all the time. I pray that people get sick of you at work because you won't go out partying with them. I pray that people get sick of you at work because when they're trying to steal an extra half hour of time, you're out there working instead of wasting. Woo! You know, it's amazing because if we would have that type of example in our life, you're going to be the one that people turn to in their time of need. You're going to be the one that can make a difference. You're going to be the one that the Bible says will please our Lord and our Savior. I want to read something to you here when it talks about our responsibility to live. Hallelujah. For the Lord, it says this in the book of Luke chapter 3. It says in verse 6, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. He said, O you generations of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know what this scripture is saying to us? Is that if we get saved, and we should, and we do, that once we are saved, we can produce fruit that verifies our salvation. In other words, what will happen after we're saved is that people will say, hey, that person used to do this, this, and this, but now they do this, this, and this. In other words, when you are truly saved, what your life produces changes. Before we're saved, we may produce hate and division. But after we're saved, love and unity. Before we're saved, whew, we might sin, or we might be violent, or we might be addicted, or we might have all kinds of things happen that negatively influence those who even we love and those who are around us. But when salvation truly comes by the blood of Jesus, our fruit will start to change. Instead of being negative, it will be positive. Instead of hurting others, our life will now start lifting others up. Instead of bringing depression, sadness, anger, arguments, fighting, our life will start producing peace, comfort, strength, joy, and unity. These are things that should be reflective as who we are. You know, it's amazing because we're about to do a baby dedication. And when we do those kinds of things, why do we do them? It's because we have clear direction in the Bible that no matter how other people are going to do it, I'm going to do it submitted to the Lord. You know, it's amazing because even Jesus, you know, it's amazing because his parents had angelic experiences. His parents had influence from the Holy Spirit to know where to go, when not to go, what to do, and what not to do. Amen? And I want you to know that we are led by the Lord. And there's a way we should live on a day-to-day basis because we live for Jesus and we live the way that he desires for us to live. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to read just one more thing to us. Hallelujah. Boy, I keep ending over and over today, don't I? But I want to read one more thing to us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. And I just want to end right here on this. It says in verse 20, they that are of a froward heart or prideful heart or not submitted to God heart, but someone who is doing things on their own way without any submission or humility to God, living this life out of their own strength, ignoring the wisdom and the direction or the voice of God. But it says that they that live that way are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. You know, it's amazing that you today have an opportunity to be a delight to the Lord. You know, another scripture says in Luke 12, 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to show you or give you the kingdom. In other words, the Lord takes pleasure in teaching you how to live on this earth the life that he would love for you to live. Isn't it amazing to know that you can be a delight to God? Isn't it amazing to know that you can please him? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but for those who diligently seek him, he's a rewarder of those. It's amazing to know that in this life, all we have to do is give the Lord our heart and live for him, and he will take delight in who you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for how much effort you put into not only making sure that salvation was provided for us, but God, once we receive salvation, you provided the grace, the strength, God, that we would be able to live this life with your help. Lord, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, right now, if there's anybody here that says, hey, I cannot say today that I'm saved and that the Lord Jesus is Lord of my life, or I'm telling you today I haven't been walking in my relationship the way I should be, I'm backslidden, I'm not certain if I'm saved. If that's you today, just and you want to be saved and you want the Lord to be the Lord of your life, just raise your hand. Praise God. I see that hand. Hallelujah. You can put that hand down. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray as a group right now. Hallelujah. And I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask help to live this life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to be up here to pray with you. Anybody that said that prayer after the service is over, that's why I'm saying that. Because we're going to pray and then we're going to do baby dedication and then we'll pray together after that. Right now, I'm going to pray for Jessica. Oh, her husband passed away, and obviously, in a time like this, Jessica needs the support of the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put Jessica and her family before you right now, Father. We ask for your grace, your mercy, and your strength at this time, Father. Lord, I pray that in the middle of this, even in this dark hour, Father, Jessica would see you, Father. She'd lean into you, Lord, and you would strengthen her and her family to navigate this moment, Father, and to keep you in their heart and in their life so that you can strengthen them in the days ahead, Father. We just pray grace and mercy over her in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now what some of you have all been waiting for, praise God, hallelujah, is that we're going to take a few minutes to do baby dedication, and we're going to have Christian and Caitlin come up here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if your family or anybody that's here supporting you today would like to come up and stand with you, they're more than welcome to do that. They don't have to, but if they'd like to, they can. Wow. Praise God. Hi, handsome. Praise God. You know, whenever the Lord graces us with a beautiful child like he has with you guys, obviously, first of all, this baby has a God-given purpose. And I'm telling you right now that the Lord has graced you as parents because he believes in you. He believes in who you are. He believes in this baby being in your hands to find him and to be taught of him and to have a relationship with him. And I'm telling you that God has graced you guys to have this baby in your family to be a blessing to you guys and to the Lord. And we're just going to pray over him because we know he has purpose and we know God has great plans. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray. pray, God, over this precious baby who we lift to you today, Father. Lord, putting you first in him, putting our trust in you, Father, and this dear family, Father. Loving this baby and loving you is going to be able to have purpose and just a future of blessing and abundance, God. Father, we thank you for this precious, darling life and this family, Father, and all that you've done, Father, and will do to bless them and keep their future, Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, all right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, Miss Shelby, we want you to come up here. Hallelujah. And you can bring your family up and they can come up here with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God brings a baby forth and places him in a family. He has every faith that not only will this child serve and fulfill the purpose that God has in him, but that he has been placed here so that you can keep him, protect him, and bring him up in a way that the Lord will always have access to him. Now I believe that God is blessing this family and blessing you guys and giving you wisdom and clarity and direction, and that his hand is on you guys. And we're just going to pray, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, and length of days, Father, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Has it been a good day or has the Lord been good? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here today. And I just want to remind you, the most important thing we can do is make sure Jesus Christ is the foundation of our life. Because if we will build our life upon the rock Christ Jesus, then I tell you, there's no storm, there's no day out in front of us that we will not be able to come through by his grace and by his goodness on our life. Amen? So I just want to say God bless you. Thank you for being here. And live for Jesus. Amen? If anybody needs prayer, come up here. We'll be willing to pray for you. Amen? God bless you.